work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to rise with love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode. As you rise with love, you'll receive so much inspiration and creative ways to assist in the evolution of humanity. You may want to birth new ideas and creations into a business aligned with heart and soul, and my special guest today is going to empower you to do just that. Her mission is to holistically support women in becoming entrepreneurs while feeling deeply nourished in the process. Her big vision is that she also wants to heal the human spirit and change the way we do business. Doesn't that just sound amazing? I so can't wait to find out more from Jana Boyko from all of her business.
Thank you so much, Melissa. That was awesome. I'm so happy to be here.
Jana, I am so excited to chat with you because I've been doing this for nearly 10 years now, and I've experienced major burnout along the way. Starting a business sounds like an amazing idea, but there's so much that goes into it. I feel I've kind of fluked my way into all of it. I feel like I've just had no idea what I've done and I've just gone with it, rolled with it. Spirit has inspired me, but I can't wait to just absorb all of your wisdom because I feel I need this, but also my audience needs this. So we are excited to have you.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so excited to share with you and just offer some support and guidance in the Wild West that is entrepreneurship and business. And the way that I often approach it too is from a place of radical creativity. And I think that it really, you know, invites us to step into those much more creative aspects of ourselves that have often laid dormant when we are working in corporate careers or other industries that we might be plugging into, in a sense. And so I feel like it's really a beautiful opportunity to get realigned, not only with the truth of who you are, but also your creativity and your capacity to serve people in a really elevated and expansive way.
Which is what I believe happens when you rise with love. And what I would love for you to share, because I know it doesn't just happen. So how did you go from, okay, I really feel like my mission is I now want to help women start businesses. Where did that all start?
That is such a great question. You know, it's funny because I feel like I've almost been preparing most of my life to do this work. So even when I was growing up, I was always starting little businesses here and there. My parents would have garage sales and I would be making cookies to sell, or I would be selling magazine subscriptions to the neighbors. And I always had this real fascination with business and also with people. I was always chatting up a storm and excited to learn more about people and talk. So that was always a big part of my life growing up. And when I went to school in university, I actually studied commerce and psychology. And so again, that was, I think my first official taste of business and entrepreneurship mixed with learning more about the human condition. And so again, it feels like, you know, throughout my life and even throughout my university experience, these two worlds, you know, humanity and psychology and the coaching mixed with the business side of things, that was all coming together in a really organic way. And so anyways, but my journey in my career didn't start off in entrepreneurship. I actually started off working in advertising as a marketing and business strategist. So it was a really crunchy kind of role, very analytical, very intense, very relentless in many ways. If you've ever known anyone who works in advertising, they will just tell you how, I guess, intense the industry can be and how busy it is and how there are so many demands and projects that are just constantly on the go. So I worked in advertising for a few years and I had the opportunity to work with a lot of big brands and global businesses and was working at quite quite a high level for someone my age, but I think there was always a part of it that never felt totally in alignment for me. So I would, you know, on a few occasions I was going to New York City and helping the company pitch really big new business projects, which, you know, felt really lucrative and felt like, okay, well, this is what success should look like. I'm making good money. I'm working at this high level. But I knew, I would know even when I would be on the plane to New York to pitch these businesses, I could feel that underlying intention and that underlying voice that was saying, you know, this isn't totally in alignment with the truth of who you are. And I think the more that I, you know, leaned into the world of advertising and saw, you know, the ways in which brands were marketing to consumers and how a lot of advertising and marketing is based on selling people products that they don't need. You know, the whole premise is that your happiness, you know, to be loved, to be cherished, to be socially accepted, it's all outside of yourself. And if you can just get that next t-shirt or you can buy that next car, or have that next house, you know, you're going to feel great. So for me, I think that the whole world of advertising in many ways and marketing was just out of alignment with who I truly was. And I saw a lot of times that we were selling products and services to people for the sake of revenue, not for the sake of really supporting them and their humanity and their growth. So I had that experience. And the further along I went down in that career path, the more that I knew that there was something else for me. You know, throughout my experience in advertising, I've gotten to a point where I said, okay, I've always known I was going to be an entrepreneur, but there was a point where I was actually driving in the Rocky Mountains and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was like, you know, in 2018, I'm going to become an entrepreneur. And I didn't even know exactly what that would look like, but it just sideswiped me. And I had this inner deep knowing. And so I knew intrinsically that that's what was going to happen. But again, I didn't know how. And then fast forward about 6 to 8 months, I actually ended up leaving that career. I started 2 separate businesses with other entrepreneurs at the time. Within my first 6 months as an entrepreneur, those businesses actually didn't end up working out. And there were things that were, you know, present in those experiences and working with other people that, again, weren't in alignment and weren't in integrity with my values. And so for a while, I was really struggling because I left this, you know, career in advertising to work with other entrepreneurs, spiritual entrepreneurs, to do work that was really purpose driven. But now looking back on that experience, I see that those businesses were not meant to be my path. Rather, they were meant to be a stepping stone so that I could get onto my path. So I like to tell people that within my first 6 months of becoming an entrepreneur, you know, I had these businesses that didn't come into fruition, which left me at the time really beside myself and really devastated and not sure where to turn to next. But that's also kind of when the light bulb went on for me. And I said, you know, if I've gone to business school, I've worked with these top brands, I've worked at a really high level in advertising, you know, what are other women in my position doing when they leave their careers but don't have that business background and they want to pursue work that is really fulfilling for them, but making that transition just feels so overwhelming and so paralyzing. And I recognized, you know, over time that there were a lot of women who wanted to start businesses and who wanted to pursue work that they felt deeply connected to and that resonated with them and their value system, but they didn't have that holistic support emotionally, financially, strategically to make that transition really supportive. And not only supportive, but nourishing.
I love that because You're so right. There are so many people who want to do this. And so, which leads me to my question I was going to ask you, what kind of mindset shift do we need to have when we decide we're going to now start a business and become an entrepreneur?
I think a lot of entrepreneurship is about doing that work on yourself and doing that deeper excavation to really peel back the layers that were never you to begin with, but the ones that society placed on us. You know, this is what success looks like. And so I think it's really about reconnecting with the truth of who you are and tuning in with what it is that you ultimately desire. And I think for so many of us, we have plugged into systems and places of work that just aren't completely serving us. But again, it's like, well, you know, but this is the trajectory and this is how it goes in order to have the home and have the life that I'm desiring. But I think the more that you get connected to what it is that you desire and what it is that feels true and in alignment for you, the easier it is to move about that process of starting a business and creating something new. So I think the mindset you need to have is one of deep curiosity and a willingness to take the relationship with yourself to a deeper level. Because for me, one of my biggest blocks when it came to building a business had nothing to do with business strategy or having the business plan or the system or the structure in place, but it had everything to do with my confidence, with my, you know, holding back from shining brighter, you know, bringing my light into the world, really owning my work and seeing that vision through. So I've always believed that our inner work is the greatest catalyst for our outer work. And so the more that you can continuously be reconnecting with yourself and also allowing your business to unfold from that place of intuition can be so powerful as well. I think we often look at, you know, okay, what is the roadmap to success and how is everyone else doing it and what is the right way to do it? But the reality is that, you know, the more we look to the consensus, I think the more we lose sight of our own internal compass. So, you know, pulling back from that temptation to say, well, what is the right thing to do, to saying, well, what feels true for me? And letting that start to guide. And again, I think this is a really new way to talk about entrepreneurship and business because it's traditionally more male dominated, more strategy focused, the revenue, the analytics. It's more about taking a holistic approach and really honoring yourself and your deepest desires in that process.
That's why I say to you, I've kind of fluked it the whole way. I've always let myself be guided by spirit. I'm going to be really honest. I've never had a business plan. I've never had a strategy. I've never had nothing. I've just gone with what has felt right to me and the community that I need to serve. And it's interesting you mentioned what your blocks are when you first go into entrepreneurship, which was for you confidence. For me, I really feel my block, which I feel I'm mostly there. I don't know if I'm quite fully there yet, but has always been being afraid of being successful and what that actually means. Not in the sense of having the money, but it's been more in the sense of the responsibility that comes with that in terms of serving humanity in the greatest way possible. So for me, I know that's been something I've worked on in my personal development journey as a business owner. So like you say, we've all have different blocks and we're all at different stages. And that's why you talk about doing the inner work as the greatest catalyst to the outer work, which I fully align with. I really believe that. What are some of the inner work we can start to do when we embark on this journey? What are some tips?
One of the most beautiful things that I've started doing in my life has been to really look at instances where I am compromising and instances where I'm being compromised and understanding that distinction.
I want you to explain the difference because that is massive.
Right. And when I first heard of this as well from another spiritual teacher, my mind was completely blown. And I think oftentimes we are not connected to ourselves enough on that level to understand the difference. So from my perspective and in my experience, compromise is essentially when you are able to be flexible from a place of empowerment and choice and awareness. So you can understand and see a situation, say, you know, I'm willing to shift and it makes sense and it feels good for me and it feels good for someone else. However, on the flip side, when we are compromised, we have flexed or bended in some way in service of someone else's experience or expectations, and in the process, on some level, sacrificed our needs, our peace, our well-being, or our boundaries. And that was huge for me. I think when I became an entrepreneur and I was involved in these two businesses initially that didn't end up working out, I had no concept or understanding of my own boundaries. And that lesson was one that I learned the hard way. And it's something I'm really passionate about helping other people, and particularly women, learn, is understanding where that line is. You know, where are you being flexible from a place of empowerment and choice? And where are you actually being flexible, but you are abandoning yourself in the process? And I think starting to look deeper at those instances and saying, you know, where have I self-abandoned? Where have I left my needs on the back burner and prioritized someone else's comfort and well-being above and beyond mine?
I feel I have done that a lot. I'm not going to lie, people. Mm-hmm. I love to serve you all. So I feel that that's something I have done very well, is compromised myself, not because it's come from a place of anything other than wanting to really be of service as much as I can, mm-hmm. be available as much as I can. But like you said, being an entrepreneur is the best form of personal development you will ever get the opportunity to have. And I can testify for that. I've learned so much about myself being in business. Why do you think being in business gives us the opportunity to uncover all of this, to uncover if we're compromising ourselves, if we lack confidence, if we're, you know, if we have money blocks, if we have whatever? Why does it give us this deep platform to uncover who we are?
That's so beautifully said, the deep platform to uncover who we really are. Well, I think in many ways, a lot of us are plugged in. You know, we are working jobs and in careers that are requiring us on some level, as I was saying earlier, to abandon ourselves. So, you know, we are working extended hours. We are dealing with really high levels of stress or expectation, or we're being thrown projects that are just above our heads and we're not being supported. And I think, you know, in life, we are so used to being on that wheel. We're so used to being everything to everyone, especially as women. And I feel like when you become an entrepreneur, there's this pause that happens, or this pause that can happen if you allow it to, where you actually start to recognize that you have the spaciousness in your days and in your time to reflect and to go deeper and to really look at what matters to you, as opposed to being, you know, plugged into a system where it never stops. And I think that many people are on this wheel of, you know, produce, so I can earn more and more and more, so that I can consume more, so that I will be loved and I will be accepted.
Oh, that vicious cycle, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Because that's what advertising has taught us to believe, that if we can achieve and purchase that next thing, then the happiness comes, you know, the attractiveness, we're better people, et cetera. And so I think when you become an entrepreneur, there's this beautiful new foundation to start to rethink some of the ideologies and the narratives that we've bought into and really question, is that true for me?
I love that. Is that true for me? I want to ask you, because I know there'll be people listening that are like, well, what I do, I can't do as a business. You know, like maybe they are a nurse or a teacher or, you know, all of those essential services that we need. Mm-hmm. And I know that for a lot of my clients, a lot of my students, they toy up with the idea of being an entrepreneur and they just never do it. Mm-hmm. Why do you think we just don't? I mean, I'm going to just be, you know, I'm all about honesty today, because one of your values. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm putting it all out on the table. I never really, when I first started as a psychic medium, you know, I've evolved from that now, but that was the beginning of my journey. I never thought, oh, I'm now going to be an entrepreneur. It just happened for me. Like, I never made that step of, you know, I'm now an entrepreneur. Here I am. So for those, you know, who are listening, and they're toying up with the idea and they're just like, I can't do it. I can't start a business. Whatever I do can't be turned into a business. Like, why do people just stop themselves from venturing on this journey?
Mm-hmm. And I think you've identified, you know, one of the first blocks right there is that rhetoric that we tell ourselves, oh, but I can't do it. You know, I'm a nurse and that's not feasible, or that's not possible for me. So I think we have to get really cognizant of the language that we are doing. And I think it's also about identification. So even if you are not an entrepreneur yet, or you are not working, you know, you're not doing your healing work yet, or you're not showing up, you know, in a business that you want to create yet, I think it's all about starting to get present in the energy of that which you want to create. And even spending time, I mean, for me, one of the most powerful things I do is visualization meditations and heart-centered visual meditations.
That visualization from that heart place. I love that, Jana. Carry on, my love.
Yes. And I think too, a lot of times we look at the mountain ahead and we say, that's too tall.
And we make it Mount Everest.
We make it Mount Everest. Exactly. When it's really like, okay, well, we're going to take this trail first. And then, you know, when we get up a bit higher, we're going to put on a different pair of hiking boots because the terrain is a bit different. it's really like you find your way through. And I think first and foremost, holding the highest vision for your life is fundamental. And the more that you can start to even just allow yourself to play and to explore in your visualizations, I think that's a really key first step, because we're not even allowing ourselves to dream at that point, you know, just saying, I can't do it. So being really present with the language that you're using, and then even taking some time in a meditation and saying, you know, if I were to live from that real place of alignment and I were to do work that lights me up, what could that look like? And starting to see those different visions for yourself and seeing what stands out or seeing what resonates. And then also, I think being willing to take bite-sized first steps is key. Because again, we see the mountain and it seems way too tall. You know, Mount Everest is a big mountain. But the more that you can look at, okay, well, I'm just going to look at this one pathway in, or I'm going to try this. I'm going to start talking about this business idea with people that I trust, you know, or maybe I'm going to try just making a sample for myself if it's a product that you want to create. It doesn't have to be big, huge leaps and first steps right out of the gate. And I think also one of the problems with the media is that we hear oftentimes about these massive businesses growing, getting millions of dollars worth of funding, you know, and that's wonderful and that's great. But also businesses can start in a really organic and intentional way. And from that place of exploration and curiosity, you know, we often want to have it all figured out right out of the gate. And it's okay not to know.
It is okay not to know.
It's okay not to know. Yeah. And that is the journey of entrepreneurship, is it's really getting creative and knowing that you will always be learning, and also starting to undo all of the belief systems and the layers that were, again, never yours to begin with, and being able to approach it from that place of unfolding.
I absolutely love the word unfolding. I think it is the most beautiful word to use. And, you know, I think you're so right when you talk about, we think about the big picture and we're like, I can't do that because that's just not possible. But you haven't become that person yet. You haven't necessarily got the skills. Yes, that's the vision. But if you sit on your ass, it's never going to happen, because you're never going to develop those skills. You know, I started doing readings at my dining room table. You know, like, I wasn't international. I wasn't doing the stuff that I do now, but that's where I started, at my dining room table giving readings. And now, of course, I work all around the world and I do all sorts of different things, but I didn't become an overnight sensation. And I think potentially that's what puts people off, is, well, that person, they got a million views on YouTube and now they're on Ellen or whatever. And you're like, well, I can't do that. I can't be that. So I think what you said is just start with aligning yourself with what you want to feel. What do you want to feel? And let the universe kind of guide you as to what the first step is going to be. And like you, I've had many things that haven't worked out. You know, you think, oh, this is going to be brilliant. You put it up and it doesn't. And that's okay. Doesn't mean you failed. It just, like you said, gave you the stepping stone to the next part of the journey. So one of the things that you are really big on is making our needs a priority, which is what I feel I need a lot of help on. So give us the wisdom. How do we make ourselves a priority in business?
I think the first step is to start to do that reframe. So one of the things that I often tell myself is, I say, when I am nourished, my business can thrive.
I love that.
Right?
Say that one more time.
When I am nourished, my business can thrive.
Oh, I'm just going to feel into that. You just keep talking and I'm just going to feel into that. Ooh.
Totally. And the more that I am supported and nourished, the more expansive my business becomes. And so I think having that really beautiful reframe in the beginning is so critical. And one thing I will mention too that really struck a chord with me is, I was at a beautiful conference for women in entrepreneurship, and there was a woman who was speaking who is a very successful entrepreneur in Canada, and she's had a big investor come on and invest in her business, and her business has really exploded. She runs a food company and makes these beautiful vegan treats. They're amazing. But she was speaking and she told us all about her journey, and it was from a really vulnerable place, which I absolutely love. But at the end, of her talk, she said, you know, I have a lot of people coming up to me who are just congratulating me and cheering for me. And they say, oh my gosh, you must be so happy. You're at this beautiful place with your business. And then she says to all of us, she says, but while my business is more successful than it's ever been, my mental health is worse than it's ever been. And I think that fundamentally, we can no longer grow businesses at the expense of ourselves. And I think really understanding where you draw that line. So for me, you know, even getting into entrepreneurship, you hear a lot of stories around entrepreneurs working 60, 80 hours a week.
And that's no joke. That is absolutely no joke. I have, yes. I remember 1 year, Jana, I had 10 days off. That was it. There's 365 days in a year and I had 10 days. That's all I took off. And so when you talk about working 60, 80 hours, it's like, that is real. That is absolutely real. And I love that you said we can't compromise our mental health because I've been there. My mental health has suffered greatly. So I love that you've shared this. Please carry on because I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Oh, well, I was also going to say, you know, I think that there's a beautiful opportunity for us to start to really reframe success as well and ask ourselves, what does success look and feel like to me? Because even, you know, in my own journey, there was quite a long period of time where I, you know, was looking at success as, you know, it's clients and it's cash. And that is the litmus test for success in my business. But it wasn't until my first 6 months into entrepreneurship when the money wasn't coming in and I was looking at my bank account. And I remember looking at it and smiling because it had never been that low. And I had never been this uncertain. And at the same time, I was more certain than I'd ever been. And I knew that my safety and security came from a much deeper place than the clients and the cash. And I love speaking about abundance. And I think money is beautiful and it is nourishing and it's important to earn at a capacity that feels really good for you. But it's also important to know that your worth is so much more beyond that cash. As someone said to me one time, they said, true abundance is so much bigger than the container of money.
It so is, yet that is what we put as our, I don't know what word to use, but I'm only successful if I earn this much or if I have this many clients or, you know, and that's probably the mindset in the beginning, like you talked about, that's what we're plugged into from the corporate world or from the world at advertising and to realize that actually, I love that. And that's something that I truly believe as well. Your worth is not measured by that, your difference that you're bringing to the world is not measured by the capping of the monetary side of things.
Absolutely. And I often ask myself, I will say, how much fun am I having? And how much am I nourishing myself? And I think that starts to even shift the internal dialogue to looking at, you know, I even make decisions in my business that feel really deeply supportive for me. And it may also mean that financial success looks a bit different, which is okay. But it also means that my needs are deeply supported in the process. And so I, even with my own business, I have really clear boundaries around when I do work and when I don't work. And I think like you were saying too, there are some seasons when you are just going to be pouring a lot into your business. But I think looking at it as a season rather than this is my reality as an entrepreneur is a really powerful shift as well. And knowing, and I feel even creating a relationship with your business, even with my business, I say, you know, I'm sourcing you, I am pouring my love into you, and I need abundance and I need nourishment in return. And so starting to look at it as a relationship as opposed to, you know, a machine that's running that you have to keep up with can be so valuable.
I think I really need to do some work with you.
Because
I'm like going, I've never looked at my business in that way, but I don't also think I look at what I do as a business either. I kind of look at it as this is what I love to do. And I literally do it 24/7. My partner is like, you know, put the phone down. I'm like, but I got to write this blog post or I'm inspired to do this. And I'm like, you know, I just want to be morphed in it 24/7 because this is what I love. Absolutely. It is not like detached from me. And I think for me, because this is where we're going now is the burnout. And I have lived it. I have lived the burnout where, actually this happened in 2017. This was the worst I had. I was just about to embark on my New Zealand tour of my Whispers from Above show. This is when I connect to people on the other side. And I had just got to the point where it became too much. I was under so much stress, so much overwhelm. I was so worried about letting everybody down. I was like, I can't do this. We were trying for a baby. I'd had a miscarriage. It was just awful that I literally just put myself in bed, put the blankets over my head. And I was like, I don't even know how my kids got to school. Well, I do. My mum, you know, took them and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, I can't do life. I can't do this anymore. I don't even know if I want to serve the world. It was just awful. And happy ending to the story is we got pregnant straight away after the miscarriage anyway. Yeah. So our beautiful baby girl is here. She's nearly two now. But it really made me go, what am I doing? Like, who am I doing this for? I'm putting so much pressure on myself to be this person that I don't even know who I am anymore. I was so, like, I looked in the mirror and I couldn't see me. And it took me probably until now. So it's taken me, you know, I had to be pregnant first. So counter that. So nearly 3 years to actually now look in the mirror and go, oh, that's who you are. Because I'd let myself get to that point where burnout had become to a point of no return. So I love that you want to help people not experience that. I don't recommend it. It's not the greatest fun thing to go through. And so please explain why we allow ourselves to get there.
That's a brilliant question. Because I look at my life as well, and I've also gone through periods of very intense burnout where my body has just shut down for 4 months and there's no work that's happening and there's nothing that can grow from that place.
And it's so crippling, right? And you're like, do you feel like, why? Like, this is what I love to do. Why am I at that point where my body's given out?
Right. Exactly. And I think for someone like you and I, who has a lot of energy and a lot of momentum and, you know, we're sourcing this business and we're excited and it feels so life-giving, I think it can be hard to know when to turn that down and when to turn it up, you know, that relationship to our business, especially for someone who is doing such purposeful work in the world. You know, there's that, I think you feel compelled to be serving all the time.
But I know I do. Yes, I do feel that way.
Yes. Yeah. And I think starting to even just ask very simple questions around, you know, if nourishment was the priority, what would life look like?
See, like, I'm like, okay, are we talking nourishment now? This is me going, okay, I want to work through this. See, everybody, this podcast is to heal Melissa Mills, right? I'm sure through my healing, you will also gain something out of this. I really do believe. I've always been really honest with my audience. You know, I believe, you know, authenticity is important. But for me, I'm like, nourishment. Nourishment has two meanings. It means food and joy. And I want to say to you, but I love what I do. It's like, if I'm working, I am in my ultimate joy. I love it so much. It's like finding the balance, which I know you help a lot of people to do with your clients, is finding the balance within that. So that's where my nourishment question is. It's like, I love what I do. I want to just, that's what I want to do. I want to be in my bubble working all the time, but I guess I've got to be human as well.
And I think too, starting to discover where the other pockets of nourishment exist.
Don't get me wrong. I love my kids and I love my partner. I love, you know, I do love them. Yeah. I'm making it sound like I don't.
No, not at all. But you're so lit up by your work, which I think is so, so beautiful. And I think even starting to tune in and identify, you know, this feels so glorious, but then there are also moments where, you know, my body is taxed, or I'm feeling really drained, or I'm needing to sleep a lot. And so I think starting to evaluate, you know, where are those kind of parameters? Not in a limiting way, but in a way where, you know, I get to serve and do this work during this period of time. And then in moments when I'm also not focused on the work and I'm doing something else, or I'm having fun with my children, or I'm giving myself a salt bath, or I'm nourishing and sourcing myself in different ways, there can actually be a lot that happens with the business behind the scenes.
And so I think, know that.
Yeah, you know,
just, I know I need to be with the kids coloring in or doing this, but then I'm like, there's so much to do. There is always so much to be done as an entrepreneur, right? So how do we, and I feel this will help people, you know, using me as an example.
Yes.
How do we identify those pockets that you're talking about? Like, use me as an example if you want to. How do I identify those pockets, because I know it's when you take a break from business, that's when the genius also happens.
100%.
I know that.
You know. Behind the scenes. Yeah.
I know exactly, and I tell my clients that. I'm like, sweetheart, sometimes you need to take a week off. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
How do we identify where to take those pockets?
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, I think the first thing I would ask you is, outside of your business, what feels nourishing?
Are you asking me this now?
We could do it now, or well, we could
let's do it, right? Let's just show a little bit how this works.
We'll show a little, exactly.
I love dancing. I love exercise. I find, for me, exercise is very releasing. Love it. Mm-hmm. I also feel spending time with my family. I absolutely love it. I feel like sitting down and having those deep conversations with them, talking, you know, what are your dreams? What are your hopes? I love talking like that about my kids, helping them with mindset. I love, you know, having that time with my partner where, you know, we're cuddling and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. For me, that's what fills me up nourishingly. That's totally a word. We'll use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Top of my head, what comes up?
I think that's beautiful. And it sounds like you have a lot of other areas of your life that feel really life-giving. And I wonder if maybe it's also about taking those other areas of your life and starting to allow yourself to just be in those moments. Because I think too, especially as entrepreneurs, the shoulds, like I could hear you say, you know, I should.
Oh my God. Oh yeah.
I should, you know what I mean? And I think that one of the things that I even do after my client calls, because I can be like that with myself as well. We should have said this, or I should go do this on the website. But part of what I've had to surrender has been, you know, this belief system that I could have done more, or I should be doing more. And instead saying, I trust that that was exactly as it needed to be.
Yeah, I need that. I feel this is where, you know, how I talked about my block or my belief has always been being afraid of being successful because of the responsibility that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And I feel for me is I really feel I hold the weight of the world on my shoulders. And anyone that knows me knows my heart and my soul is always there to provide for humanity. That's my purpose. And so I feel like I'm letting the world down if I haven't written the blog post, or if I haven't, you know, doing all of that kind of stuff. And I know that's on me, because I know that's not reality, but it's shifting from that. And someone that's listening might also be like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm failing at my job because my boss says to me, you need to have this done. And you want to spend time with the kids, but you know that you want to go above and beyond. I think I'm one of those people, those overachievers.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we all get into this place where it's as if we've taken on a responsibility that is beyond us.
That's right.
Right?
Where did that come from? Where did that come from, right?
Yeah, it's like we're supposed to be lifting the dumbbells and all of a sudden we're doing CrossFit with 200 pounds on our back, right?
Or 1,000 or something.
Or 1,000, exactly. Yeah, and so I think that it's so important to start to excavate and look at, okay, what has me feeling like the world's on my back?
I don't know. I feel like as a little girl, that's been my thing. It's like, I know I'm here to assist humanity. I know that there's this thing I'm supposed to do, right? And I think a lot of light workers feel that way. I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels this heaviness, especially I think with what's been going on with the 5D ascensions, because I started in 2012. I was part of those light workers. And now that we're in this 5D ascension where, you know, the rest of humanity is going to be catching on, I feel like, all right, Melissa, you know, you've got to do this work. And I'm like, sometimes I don't even know what this work it really is, but I just show up. And you're right. It is the shoulds and the things. But also then I want to contradict it because, you know, I'm Aries and I'm stubborn and this is not what I expected this conversation to go as, but hey, we'll use it.
Right. And I think it's interesting because I feel like, especially as people that want to hold a lot and do a lot for the world, we start to get into the run, right? And we get overrun. And I think that starting to even look at it from a place of, you know, okay, I've been running, but how can I really intentionally walk through this?
And that sounds better.
Yeah, there's a bit of, I just can feel that, like the we take on a responsibility that's not ours. And that weight, I think, is what starts to feel really heavy. And it's the burnout, and it's not the work itself, and it's not the serving, because that's beautiful and we can generate that and it flows. But I think it's those added layers of, okay, well, I've got to lift this, right?
Yeah. And it's real. And other people might also be going, maybe that's why I haven't started a business, or right. You know, maybe that's why I started and stopped, or maybe that's why I just play it safe and don't ask for a promotion, or, right. You know. And so I love that you can use me as an example. I'm totally open to all of that kind of stuff. But it's like, for me, being in my job and serving my community, connecting with like-minded people, that's what lights me up. Mm-hmm. How did it let me also become to the point where I burnt out?
Right.
Like, because right. I know you help a lot of people through mm-hmm. burnout. Mm-hmm. So how can people avoid doing a Melissa?
Right, right. And I think what's important is to even look back on past, because oftentimes past experiences show up again, right? And starting to look at, where did that switch flick? So where did it go from service that was really nourishing to service that started to lead to me feeling compromised?
I think that's what you talked about in the beginning, right? Yes. I think for me was, I had a tour manager. I had, you know, the publicity, everything I've always wanted, everything I've always kind of imagined success would look like to me. But what I realized was I was being compromised. My business, my work no longer became about the people I was serving, but the bums on seats. And the next, you know, how else are you going to show up in the media? Or, you know, what are you going to do? And it became just like, this is not who I am. I'm not someone who is all about, I need to have 1,000 people, or, you know, it's like, I just, whoever's going to be in the room is who I need to serve. And it stopped being about that.
Right. And so it sounds like you're identifying where that switch was when, you know, the metrics, that, and again, because as you start to grow, you start looking more at those metrics and, okay, how many people are coming? And I've got people I have to pay. And I think sometimes
that's right. They were making more money than I was. And I was like, I'm out there doing the work. And it's like, and I'm buggered. I was energetically so drained because I had to become this person that I really wasn't. But now I also had other people that relied on me for their income. Right. And I wasn't providing the goods.
Totally, 100%. And then more layers of responsibility get put on, right? Yeah. And it's so fascinating because it makes sense why those things happen, right? We start to run. We've got more people on our team. We want to keep the momentum going. We want to serve. We want to go. And I think you can feel that moment when that soul purpose has kind of slipped away, even if just for a moment. But it's become about bums in seats, or it's become about, you know, okay, how many tickets, or is this room going to be full, rather than who's there, whoever is there needs to be there. And that's exactly how it has to go. And I find that the more we surrender to that, the more powerful our work becomes, because I've even found in my own business leading workshops, there have been moments where I'm checking, you know, the ticket site saying, how many people have bought tickets, or are they coming? How many people are coming? And as soon as I say, everyone who needs to be there will be there, I surrender this, every single time, the people who have needed it most have shown up, and they've found my work in the most obscure ways. And I think sometimes we have to recognize that it's not always about us doing that gets the results, but it's us surrendering and allowing a power far greater than us to take some of the load.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to say that is something that I have found the most profound, especially since my big burnout. I mean, like, I've had burnouts, you know, all over the show, not as bad as the 2017. Mm-hmm. Like, you're so right. When I say to myself, because I think we'll still look at the tickets going, oh no, you know, like, how is it all, how are people going to show up? But actually, when I start being grateful for who's, you know, working with me, and when I step away and I go, universe, whoever's supposed to be there needs to be there, that's when the magic happens. And I think, you know, the greatest message I can give to anybody in business is, sometimes you're going to put on things and there's going to be no one that shows up, but that's not a sign. It is not a sign that you are not meant to do this work. It is not a sign saying to you that the idea that you had is no good. It could be a representation of your alignment of how you expected that to go. And sometimes it's like you say, is surrendering, surrender to actually let the universe take over. So I know I may sound like, you know, I've never done that, but I also want to say that, you know, that is something I understand and something that I do. And it is so powerful when we do get out of the way.
100%. And I think too, just even checking our energy, as you know as well, but really boiling it down to, is this thought or is this action that I'm taking coming from fear or is it coming from love?
That's right.
And I think too, like you can feel within your body when you're doing something, but there's those few cells that don't feel like it's the right thing to do. And I think so often when we ignore those little intuitive hits that we get, and sometimes they're so small, but you can feel when you're about to do something or put something out into the world that you're not fully and completely aligned with. And I think that those are the places where we need to look, you know, what has you feeling not fully and completely aligned with this work? What needs to shift so that you can feel aligned? And what needs to shift so that you can do this from a place of nourishment and expansion rather than fear and scarcity?
That's right. And I think, you know, in all of my madness in this conversation that I've made you go into, right? I'm sure everyone's loving it. They're going, oh, Melissa's sharing all the good.
Get your popcorn.
Yeah, get your popcorn, right? Yeah. I think this is really important to everyone is we've all been there. We've all been there where we had those little niggles inside of us. And people will say to me, but you're intuitive. Shouldn't you have known that? And it's like, well, you know what? Sometimes we still have to go through the lesson. And we've all been there where we have put things out or we've done things that have compromised ourselves because it's maybe what someone else is doing or what we feel we should be doing. And the greatest part and why you are an entrepreneur and why you go on this journey is, like we say, it's the best form of personal development, is that you start to recognize it. And you won't necessarily recognize it in the beginning because you have to go through those experiences. You learn what those niggles feels like. And then you go, oh, so that's what that means. And I, the next time I know not to do that because my body showed it to me in that way or I felt that feeling. So this is what you mean, right?
Yes, 100%. And I think, you know, in life, there is something also that is beautiful about the friction, you know, and again, I think over time, our intuition sharpens, and we get more and more clear about what we want to pursue and what we don't. But I think that those moments of friction, while they can be so difficult to move through and sit through and be with, really are the things that crystallize us into the people that we need to be to show up and do the work that we need to do.
Exactly. So don't let that put you off. If you are someone in business or you have no idea where you are in this whole business thing, that's okay. Know that it is the journey. You don't just decide to climb Mount Everest and then you do that. You have to go through the training. You might have some setbacks. You know, like there'll be things along the way. And I think if you can have those good habits, like you say, nourishing yourself and having the boundaries and looking at this as an opportunity for you to grow to the most incredible capacity and really get clear on what success feels like, not necessarily what it looks like, but what does it feel like inside your body? I think that's your genius, Jana. That's what you help people to do. And I feel anyone who gets the opportunity to work with you is so blessed. I mean, you've done just a smidgen with me and look at me go, you know, I've shifted already, right? So it's really powerful. It's really powerful things that you do. What is, you know, your hope for business in the future? What do you hope that it's going to look like, feel like? How do you see us exchanging energy in a monetary level as the world goes on, really?
Oh, it's brilliant. You know, I think we're certainly due for an evolution when it comes to the
way. Me too. I'm just going to say, you know, and I really believe we're in it. So I'm really interested to see how you see it.
Yes. And I feel like we are in this very deep period of dismantling systems that were previously holding us up, but now.
Sorry to interrupt you, because I just want to say for those who are feeling like it's going to crumble and they're petrified. How do we help them through that? Because it is going to crumble. I have to 100% agree. So how can we help people through that crumbling? And of course, how's it going to emerge on the other side?
Right. I think knowing that this dismantling is in service of your becoming is important to remember. And I think it's important also to recognize that even the whole entire system of capitalism and money, it's all something that we've fabricated as human beings. It's a system, and recognizing that we are so much more than the system, and that there is a beautiful and new way of doing things. And just because we may be in a season of friction and a season of change doesn't mean that what's on the other side isn't going to be better. And so I think that what we're going to move into is really a new way of creating companies that is going to be truly sustainable. You know, when I look at corporations today, really the fiduciary duty of a corporation is to maximize shareholder value. And I think in so many instances, companies are growing for the sake of growth while exploiting the environment and humanity and the people behind these companies. And so I think that we've got to move to a place of true sustainability and holistic success that deeply honors the environment and this planet, deeply honors humanity and the people that work for these companies by paying them fairly, ensuring factories are built adequately and supportive, and you know, the people that we serve are also supported. And also, one of my biggest hopes is that sustainability will also mean that the entrepreneur at the center of that company gets to be cared for and well. Because I think a lot of the conversations around sustainable business development today have again centered around, okay, well, how can we look at the environment and employing people ethically? But no one is really looking at the sustainability of the entrepreneur at the center of the company. And so I think taking that approach is going to be so critical to the vitality of the businesses that we will build, and just taking a more well-rounded approach to sustainability and what it really looks like to create companies that are in support of humanity rather than having humanity build these companies at the expense of themselves, like we were talking about earlier.
I just have like, I feel like I just want to cry in absolute like, yes, this is where the world is going. And I'm so excited for it to become that way. I just feel it in my whole being that things are going to change. And yes, we might not necessarily know what that looks like and what it's going to feel like. It's actually, let it unfold. We've been waiting thousands of years to get to this point, and we get to be a part of that. I think, how blessed are we that we decided to come into our bodies now, didn't we? Well, you know, and I just feel like your mission is so important, and I really want us to be Canadian Kiwi best friends. So if let's make that happen. I feel like I need you in my life, Jana. I need you to, you know, just, I think everyone needs you in their lives, Jana. You are an amazing light worker, and yes, you might help people with business, but you do so much more than that. You really help them to discover who they are and to get back to that true essence. I always say, you know, time and time again, there will never be another you as there is right now in all of Earth's existence ever again. And you help people to realign with their true essence, who they are, as the being they came here to be, not the physical being that they are, but the true source being that they are. And that is priceless. This work is so needed all around the world. And I just want people to be able to connect with you. So how, where can they find you? They can't claim you as their best friend, because I've done that. But where can they find you, and potentially how can people work with you as well, Jana?
First of all, I just want to thank you so much, Melissa. Your words touched me on the deepest level. So thank you so, so much. I fully felt that in my entire being. As far as how people can connect, so I have my website, alloferbusiness.com. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, under All of Her Business. And yeah, I mean, I'm in a season two where I'm taking a really expansive approach in my work and serving people and creating community. And so, of course, I offer one-on-one coaching, but that's also evolving to look like new offerings, which I'm really excited about. Yeah, if you want to connect, the best places are on social media or on my website. And I'm just so excited to see as well how this podcast and this episode is received by everyone, because we really went deep today and we dove right in, and it was so beautiful and I think so needed. And I think this level of vulnerability is going to be the place where new creation really stems from. in all aspects of life. And I think it's so gorgeous.
I love also like the work of Brené Brown, who talks a lot about vulnerability. And I think we need to change the stigma around getting vulnerable. And like I've shared, I haven't had a clue what I've done over the last 10 years. I've just done it. And it's some things have worked, some things haven't. I've burned out, I've succeeded, you know, like there's been the whole spectrum. And I've always said, I don't just want to show up and just be like, my life is amazing and nothing bad has ever happened, because that's not reality. We have to show our vulnerability. We have to talk about all of it. And I really feel you hold a very safe space for people to do that. Very naturally. It, like you said, as a little girl, you always were creating little businesses. This has been something that you potentially over past lives even have mastered. You've accumulated all the skills to bring it into mastery now. And I feel like, oh, I just feel people are going to be so blessed to even follow you. If all they do is follow you and just get little snippets of the incredible heart, because you ooze that. It's not something that can be taught. Oozing your heart and your being is not something that you can do unless you have healed on a deep level. And you've done that. You've gone to those layers that people don't necessarily want to go to. And yeah, the conversation, I had all these questions I wanted to ask you, and then it ended up being like let's work on the Melissa session, but hopefully you guys have got something out of that. And don't be afraid of the healing, because then you become someone like Jana who is aligned with her mission as to why she came here on earth. And look at the beautiful work you're now doing. It's worth it. Would you say it's worth going to those places we don't want to go to?
It is so worth it. And I think for all of us, you know, in childhood and inner life experiences, we all come from some form of dysfunction. And I think the most beautiful gift we can give ourselves is to go and turn over those rocks and to look at what's underneath and to call in the right support as you need it and to go to those places, because that is where true nourishment is. And that's where you find yourself.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And you know what? I feel like I know who I am, and I feel like, you know, I found myself. But I also want to say, you'll never be done. You'll never be done discovering who you are and the multidimensional facets that is you. And so I think one of the greatest things we can do, and I'm sure you would agree, is to keep healing and to keep growing and to keep discovering, right? You never know what you might find when you go out there and you discover.
And you never know how you might unfold. You can surprise yourself. And we think we know ourselves, or we think we know our partners. But I think the beauty of life is that we'll never fully know, because we're constantly evolving. And that's what's so miraculous about it.
I have loved this conversation so much. You have provided us with so much wisdom, and the gifts that have unfolded are priceless. I really want you to keep on this mission of helping humanity on a holistic level. This work is fundamental, I feel, to the next stage of our human evolution. And I'm so proud that we can, you know, of you, and that we've connected. Thank you, universe, for bringing Jana into my life. Oh my gosh. I am like, I know you guys can't see me, but I am like jumping. Well, not really jumping, but I am dancing. And I'm just like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And recognize, you know, those moments where people come into your life and divine intervention stepped in. You're one of those beautiful examples. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jana.
It has been the biggest pleasure and honor to have this conversation with you. I've loved every minute of it as well. And I'm so glad we're best friends now.
Oh my gosh. It is my greatest wish that you keep allowing yourself to grow and take those ideas and roll with it and see what unfolds from them. There is so much to gain from being an entrepreneur. I've loved the journey, as you can tell. There are many beautiful mentors like Jana out there in the world to assist you. So go and take those opportunities. I can't wait to see how you all blossom. Thank you for joining Jana and myself. Until next time, peace, love, and blessings. Melissa.